Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us agree in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for that spirit that you've given unto us by your resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that riches of glory and the riches of inheritance that we've received upon resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that riches that we have by the giving of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for that work of redemption. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. As we go into the word this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of which you've given unto us. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened to see ourselves yet more and more the way you see us in Christ. At the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified. Christ alone is glorified. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no confusion in our hearts. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. We declare that there is no confusion in the name of Jesus. Christ is seen and taught in simplicity and with clarity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. I believe you have a Bible with you. Don't wait for me to read it. You know, try read and follow yourself so that you don't get into a ditch. Mark 16, verse 14 to 16. Mark 16, verse 14. He says, afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus upbraided their heart. Look at verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized. Remember, we'll make corrections to that. He's not saying that he that believes after believing go for water baptism. The believing is the baptizing. So he that believes, that is baptized, is saved. Yeah, but he that believe not shall be damned. Yeah, so he that believes and is baptized is saved. But what did he say in verse 15? Go and preach the gospel. In fact, look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 makes it makes it a little more explicit. Matthew 28 verse 18. Look at what it says. Matthew 28 verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see, when you see that word all before any word, you must take note, or you must make sure you understand what the all is there for. Yeah, you know, like I said, Bible interpretation has led people to their early graves. Yeah, so when you say I can do all things, yeah, you should know that you cannot do everything on earth. When you see Paul saying I can do all things, you should make sure that you consider what Paul is really saying as all things. So a good way to speak about a good way to read all things, you know, all things in context of scriptures, is to use the pretext and context to understand what is being spoken about. Yeah. So when he says all power, he's not saying every power on earth, because that will include witchcraft power. Yeah. That will include satanic power. Yeah. So when he says all power, he's not saying all power is to him. What is the power about? Look at the next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yeah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Look at it very well. It says, and Jesus came unto them and said, all power is given unto me. All power, that is all authority. All authority. What was the authority for? Authority was to preach and teach. How do we know? Go ye therefore and teach. Go ye therefore and teach. Yeah, so that is the all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go ye therefore and teach. Remember that word there, teach, is to make people students, to make people disciples, to make people students, to make people disciples. Yeah, to teach. What are they being discipled on? What is the discipleship scheme of work? What is it? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Look at verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Yeah, so they were to teach a particular teaching. What was the teaching about? The things he had commanded. Yeah, the things he had commanded. How do we know the things he commanded? Acts 1, 2, 3 shows us that Jesus taught for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God, a particular kingdom. So he's saying, go and teach and make people students as regards that doctrine. Yeah, go and teach and make people students. You see, Bible study entails people being students of the word. Bible study entails people being students of the word. In fact, let me say it this way. Christianity entails people being students of the word. Yeah, you cannot. How do you know a serious Christian? You see how he submits himself to discipleship. How do you know a serious Christian? He submits himself to learning the doctrine of Christ. In fact, hold your hands in Matthew 28 and go to Philemon chapter 6. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Philemon has one chapter, verse 6. Philemon 1 verse 6. Look at what Paul says. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By acknowledging of every good thing. Yeah? Not every good thing on earth. Every good thing which is in you. Where is that? In Christ. Yeah? That the communication of thy faith may be effective. So how is the communication of thy faith effective? It is effective by acknowledging. It is effective by the acknowledging of the things that are good and all of them together. Not one, not some. Every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, say that again. It says that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, there is something called the communication of the faith, the supply of the faith. Yeah, yeah, the fellowship of thy faith being effective. How is that possible? By acknowledging that great faith. How is it possible? By acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, yeah, this is similar to, you can, that the communication of thy faith may be effective by being a proper student of the doctrine of Christ. Yeah, because the doctrine of Christ will be wholesome, comprising of the every good thing that is found in that Christ. So the communication of thy faith may be effective by the acknowledging of the doctrine of Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. The same Paul, what does it say? It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, remember that word there, and doesn't mean two different things, but it's speaking of an explanation. So how do you grow in grace? You grow in grace in the knowledge, yeah, by acknowledging, remember, by acknowledging every. Yeah, so growing in grace is in the knowledge. So how do you grow in grace? It is growing in grace is really growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how do you become effectual? How does the communication of the faith become effectual? By acknowledging. How do you grow in grace? By acknowledging the knowledge, yeah? By having a comprehensive, yeah? Remember, that Philemon, when he says by acknowledging every good thing, it is having a precise and concise and comprehensive understanding of Christ. Yeah, so how do you grow in grace? By having a precise, concise, yeah, comprehensive understanding of Christ. Yeah, so the subject of your study to grow in grace should be in reference to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, Lord that is Savior Jesus Christ. So we see that the theme of scriptures is Christ Jesus. In fact, you know that 2 Timothy 3, look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. And that from a child, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. That from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, and these scriptures have an ability. What is the ability? To make thee wise unto salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have an ability to make thee wise. That means the scriptures have an ability to give wisdom. What is this wisdom in reference to? It is in reference to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It now says verse 16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired scriptures. Why? For thee to be profitable. Look at the word there, profitable. Advantageous for teaching. Yeah, that word doctrine is teaching. It says for reproof. Yeah, that word there, reproof, is to give evidence or assurance. For correction. So from scriptures, we find that the advantage of scriptures is for teaching. Teaching in reference to what? Teaching in reference to that wisdom that salvation gives. So when someone finishes teaching from the Bible and you say, oh, I'm getting wiser. Oh, I got wiser today. What did you get wiser in reference to? In reference to what? That great salvation. Yeah, that great salvation. So, advantages for doctrine. What teaching should scriptures be used for? Or rather, what should scriptures be used to teach? Scriptures should be used to teach salvation. Yeah, salvation. Yeah, so that means scriptures have a center focus. Scriptures have a focus. They have a pivot point. Yeah, they have a central point of view. Yeah, scriptures is not used for everything. It is used for one thing, one particular thing, one very, very particular thing. Jesus used scriptures to teach about that particular thing. What is that? Salvation. You know, it's interesting that it is only this time of the year that a lot of churches have the F, or rather would use the Bible to have service. You know, after using all other services to teach about how to take over the government sphere, how to have a good spouse, how to have a good husband, how to know a good wife, how to clean the chair in your father, in your in-law's house where you go to, how to wash the plate where you... That is not what scripture is for. Jesus never said, go and teach people how to get wise. No, you don't need to teach people how to get wise before they get wise. Yeah, is it bad to teach people what to observe when they are looking for spouses? It is not entirely bad, but that is not what scriptures are for. Remember, anything you must teach from scriptures must be consistent everywhere on the earth. You must not teach scriptures applying your cultural bias or cultural backgrounds. What are we to teach from scriptures? Salvation and it alone. So I mean, today it is interesting how a lot of churches will talk about, oh, he's risen, he's alive, he's risen. But the truth is that we are to keep talking about he is risen every service that will come together to meet our saints and believers. You see, a great man, Martin Luther King, you know, I think they asked him a question: why do you teach your members justification by faith every Sunday? Is there any other thing you can teach? Every Sunday, justification by faith. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, justification by faith. You know what he said? The man said, I teach my people justification by faith every week because every week they forget. Every week, it is possible that the people you teach justification by faith every week, they forget. It's possible that people that rejoice with you on Sunday, he's alive. On Wednesday, they forget that he's alive. It is very, very possible. It is possible that those that preached about finished work, eternal salvation on a Sunday, forget before the next 3 days. Now, think about it. Now, teaching it once in a year. No, the doctrine that we are to teach from the scriptures is in reference to salvation. The only wisdom, look at it, there's no mixing of words. The only wisdom we are to get from scriptures, what did Paul say? Paul says they are able to make thee wise unto salvation, not unto salvation and political spheres, not unto salvation and how to make money. Unto salvation. Salvation. God inspired scriptures to be written for us to be wise unto salvation. In fact, look at Luke 24. Your Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, taught from scriptures and scriptures only. Look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. What did the woman say? The woman said something about what they saw about the sepulchre. In fact, look at that, Luke 24. Go with me to verse 2. And they found, look at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Look at verse 2. What did they find? They found that the stones rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they entered in with an expectation to find, but they did not find. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them shining in a shining garment. And they were afraid. Look at verse 6. What did the men say? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he will rise. So, did Jesus say he will rise again? Yes, he said it before he was killed. Yeah, in fact, hold your hands in verse 9, verse 8, look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Yeah, there were some words he spake before he was delivered into the hands of sinful men. What are the words? These are the same words that must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. So he said what? They said to them, he said, he is risen. He is risen. And they remembered his words. Verse 8. Luke 24, verse 8. They remembered his words. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of the things which had happened. They were having this conversation about the things which had happened. Then Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So Jesus that they were speaking about was with them. Look at the conversation in verse 21. Look at it. It says, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They expected that this Lord and Savior will redeem Israel. They expected. How did they know that he was the one to redeem Israel? Because the scripture spoke about a God. In fact, hold your hands in Luke 24. Go to Isaiah 9 verse 6. Yeah, you see, from verse 21 of verse chapter 24, they trusted that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. Yeah, you see, and then look at what he said. And beside all these, today is the day, is the third day since these things were done. So they thought that after 3 days at most, what he will come to do is to redeem Israel. Look at Isaiah. Remember, they had access to scriptures. Look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Look at Isaiah 9, 6. Look at what the prophet said. The prophet said in Isaiah chapter 9, 6, prophet Isaiah, what did he say? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Yeah, speaking about the incarnation and the resurrection. Yeah, how do we know the son is given? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah, where did God give? Was it in the incarnation? No, it is in the death and the resurrection. So unto us a son is given. Look at what the prophet said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That means the people that said in Luke 24 that we trusted that he will redeem Israel were not entirely wrong, because the scripture said this son that is given, there is a government that shall be upon his shoulder. Yeah, so they were not entirely wrong, but they were entirely wrong because scriptures were wrongly interpreted. Yeah, did Isaiah say there's something about a government? Yes. Was it about politics? No. Did they read what Isaiah said? Yes. Did they think it was about politics? Yes. Was it about politics? No. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Who is that Mighty God? The Mighty God is that Son. Yeah, the everlasting Father. So who is the Father? He is that Son. The Prince of Peace. Who is that Prince of Peace? He is that Son. Yeah, yeah. Look at it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Now, did Isaiah speak about the throne of David? Yes. Was he speaking about Jesus taking over that physical throne of David? No. Even David knew better. In fact, hold your hands. Remember, your first finger is in Luke 24. Your second finger is in Isaiah 9:6. Your third finger should go to Psalm 110 verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. Look at David. Yeah, David speaking here. He says, the Lord said, this is one of the most quoted Psalms in the New Testament books. He says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Look at David knew that there was a throne that Lord will sit on, and it will not be a physical throne. You see, he said, the Lord said to my Lord. He knew that David was not involved in that conversation. He said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make. So he wasn't talking about David. Yeah, he wasn't talking about David. So the Lord said unto my Lord, sit. Isaiah, go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You see, Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Yes, and a government. Yeah, if you read David without knowing David did not speak about himself. Remember, we have interpretations of Psalm 110 in the book of Acts, in the book of Hebrews. Yeah, we see the explanation that it was speaking about a Christ. Yeah, so if you read David without reading Isaiah, or you read both of them without being informed about the focus of scriptures and salvation, you would think that Jesus came to redeem mankind and redeem government. Yeah, it is entirely wrong. Jesus did not come to allow to take over the spheres politically, socially, or economically. It is wrong. It is not a biblical doctrine. It is not a biblical doctrine. He says, and upon his shoulder, the government shall be. He says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. What government is that? A particular government. You see, this, look, now, remember, you were in Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24. Now, they were speaking to the Lord and Savior. They said, but we trusted that this man that died, this is 3 days, we trusted he is the one that will redeem Israel back. That means it wasn't only this group of people that had the knowledge of Jesus redeeming people back. You know, how do we know? Look at it. In fact, before you continue in Luke 24 verse 21, go to Acts 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1 verse 2. Oh, glory to God. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Yeah, Acts chapter 1. You see, it's very interesting how people don't understand, people don't understand the doctrine of Christ, but want to teach about the doctrine of Antichrist. You see, you know, imagine people trying to create an antivirus without knowing what virus is about. You see people teaching about Antichrist, they don't understand what Christ came for. Yeah, yeah. The moment you have a wrong understanding of the coming of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, you will definitely have a wrong doctrine concerning the Antichrist and what you call the resurrection of Christ, or the revelation of Christ from the believer. You know, you see people that say that, oh, Christ died for you to take over the political sphere, you know, to be a governor. If you don't campaign well, you will lose and fail woefully in Christ. Yeah, you will lose and fail woefully in Christ. Yeah, politics is politics. The doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of Christ. There is a government that comes with the doctrine of Christ. There is a government that comes with politics. They don't interfere. They are never the same. Yeah, can a man have the doctrine of Christ and go into politics? There is nothing wrong in that. But do not use the doctrine of Christ or the government of the doctrine of Christ to teach the doctrine of politics. No, it is entirely wrong. Yeah, look at it. They said we thought he was the one that would redeem. Look at Acts 1 chapter 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles which he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive, his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. What was he doing for 40 days? He was teaching. What was he teaching? And speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Isaiah spoke about a kingdom which has to do with a government. Yeah, they had access to scriptures. They read it. David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. David said so. But remember, David was most likely a king at that time. But he wasn't involved in that conversation. Now Jesus rose and what he taught for 40 days. After teaching for 40 days, what happened? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him. So when they came together, they asked him. What did they ask Jesus? The same questions they asked in Luke 24, verse 21. What did they say? We thought he was the one that would redeem. Then they were not sure of who Jesus was or where Jesus was. Now that they have seen Jesus physically, they say, okay, Oga, now you finished teaching for 40 days. Oh yeah, let's ask you our question. See, we don't disprove you. Yes, you thought about the kingdom. You thought about the resurrection. But let us ask you our question, sir. Jesus now said, what is your question? What did they say? When they therefore were come together, verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, they asked of him. What did they ask him? They were saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Yeah, will that at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Will that at this time restore a kingdom of Israel? That means they were asking the same question. Are you the one that is to redeem Israel? Remember I said earlier, at this time, the king of Israel was an imposter. The king of Israel was not from the Jewish lineage. He was an imposter in power. So they thought this Christ was the one to rise to redeem Israel back to their governmental bodies. Now, was it entirely wrong for them to think that way? It was only wrong because they interpreted scriptures. But if you look at the late layman teaching of Isaiah, you would have inferred a government. So you see, Isaiah spoke about a risen Christ. That's why you see Isaiah would say, by his stripes we are healed. But wasn't talking about physical healing. The same wrong doctrine is what people say, oh, I'm in Christ, I can never be sick. I'm in Christ. I heard a very mischievous, very on. Let me just stick with that word, mischievous. You see, I can choose to live on earth forever because I have eternal life. I can choose to die when I want to die. I can choose that I will not die. I can choose that I will just live for 150 years. It's my choice. Think about it. Why do we have, you must think you are the greatest man of all time. Because if Paul had that revelation, Paul should still be alive today. Paul should be alive today. Yeah, if the fathers of faith, the E.W. Kenyons, the John, the Wigglesworth, and the Idausas, they should still be alive today. Are you saying they chose to die when they died? A lot of them, sicknesses took them. A lot of them died on the hospital bed. A lot of them died on the hospital bed. So for you to say that you can choose to live, in the resurrection power, physical healing can be made available. I'll say that again. So when Isaiah says, by his stripes, are you, you know, so people say that, I have health, my body, I can never be sick, I can never take drugs. That is one of the things that leads people to their early grave. That is one of the things that leads people to their early grave. Yeah. So some people even in government, God said, I will take over the governmental sphere. They go into politics and their fellow aspirants assassinate them. Yeah, they said God told them to go and take over and change the nation. The way God wants to change the nation is by what? Preaching the gospel. It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Peter. Yeah, not by taking over politics. Politics will handle itself. Yeah, politics will handle itself. Yeah, see, if you can read properly and know how to lead people or read books on leadership, you can properly go into politics. Yeah. You can, if you read well and read extensively about past leadership, you can properly go into politics. Yeah. So Christ came to die for that politics. What politics is that in reference to? The politics concerning the kingdom of God. Where were we? We're in Acts 1. Look at it. Look at verse 6. When therefore, rather, verse 6. They said, when will you return again the kingdom back to Israel? Look at verse 7. Jesus said unto them, it is not for you. It is not for you. What you should look forward to, look at it. Remember, we made corrections to that. It is not for you. Full stop. To know the times of the season, or as the seasons, yeah, which the Father had put into power. Moreover, alas, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon thee. Yeah, alas, you shall receive power. Remember, Matthew 28, verse 18. And all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. What is that power to do? To teach the gospel. How do we know? Look at Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. What shall this Holy Ghost do? And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Yeah, unto the, that is what, remember, make people students, Mark 16 and Matthew 28. Make people students, yeah? You shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus did not come to teach about politics. They might have thought he came to teach about politics. Isaiah 9 said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government, what government? Not the government of your country. Not the government of the U.S. embassy. Not the government of the U.S. Not the U.S. government. Not the U.K. government. Not the Italian government. No, the government. What government? The government as regards the kingdom of God. The government as regards the kingdom of God. Yeah, so go back to Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. So the same question they asked before resurrection was the same question they asked after resurrection. Can you see? That's why Mark 16 will say, he upbraided them with their unbelief. He upbraided them. Look at Luke 24. 21, they said, we thought he should have been the one to redeem Israel. But this is the third day since he rose. Look at verse 22. Yea, this, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Look at verse 23. When they found not his body, they came saying that he had been seen a vision of angels, which said that he is alive. He is alive. Don't check the tomb. He is alive. Prophecies came before time that he will rise again. Now he is alive. Look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. The woman said something, a certain group of people else went to confirm themselves. What did the woman say? That they met in a vision of an angel that saying that he is alive. He is alive. He is alive. What did Jesus do? Jesus said unto them, O fools, your Lord and Savior said unto them, O fools. Why is he saying, O fools? He had looked at the conversations they were having. We thought he's the one that will redeem the political sphere of Israel. We thought he's the one that will come and chase that imposter in power. We thought, what did he say for their thoughting? He told them for their thoughting, let's assume that's the right word. For their thoughting, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Did the prophet speak? Yes, they spoke. An example of the prophet that spoke was who? Isaiah 9:6. What did Isaiah say? Unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yeah, the prophet spoke. The prophet spoke, rather, they didn't believe, or rather, they believed partially, or rather, in fact, they didn't believe because they didn't speak. The prophets didn't speak about government. So, when the prophet spoke about a government, what government was that? The government of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the government of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, not the government of the political sphere, no, the government of the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah knew about that government, yeah, he wrote it as a prophet. Yeah, he wrote as a prophet. In fact, look at Habakkuk 2. Look at Habakkuk 2. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at it. Look at it. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, who is Habakkuk, the prophet, and he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Look at verse 3. What is the vision? For the vision is yet for an appointment. You know, this is one of the misconceptions people use to write visions on their walls. You know, is it wrong to write a vision on your wall? No, it is not wrong. But don't use Habakkuk 2 to explain it. Mm-mm. It is not wrong to have a vision and write it plain. And anyway, if you like, go and paste it on your car. Anytime you are going out, you see it. It is not wrong. But do not use Habakkuk 2 to explain. How do we know? Bible says in 2 Timothy that scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. Yeah, Jesus taught. In fact, remember you're in Habakkuk 2. We'll go back to Luke 24 just now. Look at Habakkuk 2. Look at Habakkuk 2. What did Habakkuk 2? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. He's not speaking about vision to be a general manager. No, that is wrong. Not everybody on earth can be a general manager, even if everybody is a Christian. God did not call anybody particularly to be a GMD. If you like GMD, go and register a company with CAC. Yeah, if you like GMD, go and register a company with the government of the country you are in. Yeah, God did not say, oh, this is a vision. I've given you a vision. I want to make, you know, some people say they are apostles to the marketplace. Some say that God gave them a vision to be, they are to gather millionaires. Yeah, God called them to make believers millionaires. You know, some people say some mischievous things. Not everybody on earth can be a millionaire, even if everybody receives salvation today. Yeah, look at Habakkuk 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Look at it, and not lie. Though it may tarry, wait for it, but it will surely come and it will not tarry. Look at what Habakkuk used. Habakkuk's choice of words says it. Though it may. Look at Luke 24. Remember Luke 24. And he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? They spoke about what was happening. How do we know? Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things they were saying and to enter into his glory? Look at verse 27. And beginning at where? Moses. When you see Moses, what did he do? What does that mean? It means the writings of Moses. Beginning at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets. And all the prophets. Does Habakkuk include all the prophets? Yes. Does Isaiah include all the prophets? Yes. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what did he do? He expounded unto them the things in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So that means he went to Habakkuk and explained. He went to Isaiah, he explained. He went to Moses, he explained. Yeah, look at verse 44, verse 24. What did he do? Then open he their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. Remember, he opened for the first time their mindset so they might synchronize all the prophets were speaking. So Moses wrote about something. Oh, Moses wrote about Christ. Oh, Jesus was saying, no, look at that thing. It is about me. Eh? Look at that. It is about me. Oh. It is about me. Oh. Look at, he went to Isaiah. When he says the government is about me, oh, it's about the kingdom of God, oh, he thought about that thing for 40 days. So when you see Habakkuk say, for the vision, write it, let it be plain. Habakkuk was not talking about your daily activities. He was speaking about Christ. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 37. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 37. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 verses 37. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews 10, verse 37. Look what he says. He says, for yet a little while, and he, remember, the explanations of the New Testament, the explanations of the Old Testament are found in the New Testament. Look at it. For yet a little while, remember, the writer of Hebrews had access to scriptures, Habakkuk. So he was quoting Habakkuk 3, 2, verse 3. So look what he says. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Yeah, look at it. For yet a little while, look at it. Look at verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That means Habakkuk wrote about a promise. A promise. How did the writer of Hebrews write that promise? For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and he will not tarry. He. That means you can go back to Habakkuk 2, verse 3 and 4, and replace that it with a he. Yeah, you can go back to Habakkuk 3 and replace that he with a, that it with a we, with a he rather. So look at it very well. And the Lord answered him, that is Habakkuk, and said, write this vision, make the vision plain. Yeah, let he that not, that he may run, that really, you know, as if people say that, oh, write the vision. So anytime you see the vision, it will make you want to run and go to work. No, if you are a lazy man, you will write vision everywhere of your room and you will not be, be motivated. Yeah, it's not right the vision. So that anytime you see the vision, that motivates you. What was the vision about? So we can correct verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. What vision? The vision was like a promise to the Father. Remember, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 1, 2, 3. The prophet at sundry times spoke in diverse manners about what that kingdom of God. They spoke in diverse manners unto the fathers. But God in this last day has spoken to us in his Son. Yeah, so Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at what it says. So a good way to read verse 3 is that for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak. God has in this last day spoken to us in his Son. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, not it, he shall speak and not lie. Though he tarries, wait for him. Though he tarries, wait for him, because he will surely come and he will not tarry, not eat. He, how do we know? Luke 24. Oh, glory to God. Luke 24. Look at 27. And beginning at Moses and Habakkuk, Isaiah, Uzziah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, he went and beginning at Moses and all the prophets expounded unto them the, all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He went to David. He went to David's writing. He expounded against about the things concerning himself. That means the prophet of old and the fathers, yeah, a lot of them knew about a Christ. Even Moses knew about the Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 will tell you that what Moses esteeming the... Go there. Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Glory to God. Hebrews. Yeah, the government of God is that government of the Son. The government of the Son is that kingdom of resurrection. That kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is about that resurrection. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, when Moses was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing verse 25 rather. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So, what was Moses really suffering? When you say Moses was suffering affliction with the people of God, the Israelites, what he was really suffering, what he was really doing was what? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Hallelujah. So, Moses knew. Isaiah knew. Habakkuk knew. Isaiah wrote it in form of a government shall be on his shoulder. Habakkuk, how did he write it? Habakkuk wrote it in reference to what? The vision shall come. Wait for him. Moses knew. Eh? How did Moses esteem? He did that by not choosing to be called a son of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter, but decided to suffer with the reproach. So when you see the wilderness journey, it is a pointer to something. Yeah, it's a pointer to something. In fact, look at John 5. Look at John chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 5. Look at verse 37. Look at verse 39. And ye search the scriptures, for in them. See that word there, search, is to investigate. Yeah, so investigate the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. When you read scriptures, they testify of Christ. When you read scriptures, they testify of Christ. John 5 verse 39. Yeah, scriptures will include what? The prophet and Moses. What did Luke 24 say? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. What did John 39, what did Jesus say? Ye search the scriptures, but they are they that point to me. Look at verse 44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not to honor that cometh from God only? Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. That is Moses, in whom ye trust. They trusted Moses, but Moses was what? An accuser bringer. How do we know? The law was offered by Moses. The law was offered by Moses. Look at what Jesus said in verse 46. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. Moses wrote about Jesus. Moses wrote about Jesus. How do we know? Jesus explained Moses' writing as about him. Jesus explained Isaiah's writing as about him. Jesus explained Habakkuk's writing as about him. Yeah, he said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Yeah, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Look at John 8. Look at John 8, 56. Look at John 8, 56. What did John 8, 56? He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Yeah, he rejoiced. You see that word there, rejoice to see my day. That word there, see, means to have an experience. To have an experience about something. Your father. Remember your father. Your father is not Abraham. Remember that. Your father is not Abraham. Yeah. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons are father Abraham. I am one of them. And so I am not one of Abraham's father. No, Abraham is not my father. God is my father. God is your father. Yeah, so when he says your father, no, he's not talking about your father. Mm-mm. Their father was Abraham. Your father is your father. You know your name. My father is Pastor Amos Yusuf. Yeah, so you know your name. Yeah, so when he says Abraham, your father, he's talking about their father, talking about their physical genealogy. Yeah, okay, we can say this way. Abraham being the father of faith, okay, I'll say this way. Abraham being the father of faith means that he showed an example as to what faith really is. Yeah, not being the father of people that have faith. Hey, your father is your Lord. And remember, what did he say? Isaiah 9 verse 6, he shall be called the wonderful counselor. Yeah, that he there is the son that is given. Abraham was not a son that was given. In fact, Abraham was not the son that was given. Yeah, so when he says Isaiah 9 verse 8, what did he say? He says he shall be called the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father. Abraham is not the everlasting father. Yeah, Abraham is not the father, everlasting father. So Jesus is that Prince of Peace who is the everlasting father. So when he says your father, so don't say, Father Abraham had many sons, I am one of them. No. You are only one of them in reference to the fact that you followed according to the faith that he had. He is not your father. God is your father. Yeah, that's for another day. So their fathers, Abraham, rejoiced to see my days, to see Jesus' days. So that means Jesus knew, Abraham knew about Christ. Abraham knew about Christ. So when you read Abraham's story, be careful to know where Christ is. Remember, we've done that teaching. When Moses wrote about Abraham had two sons, Moses wrote as an allegory for what? Abraham had two sons, speaking about two covenants. Yeah, so Abraham saw that Christ. So when you say Abraham went out to go and count the stars, it wasn't to go and count the stars 1, 2, 3, 4, and he got to 10 billion. You know, say, Isaac, limb, I'm counting something. Mm-mm. It was that he saw, how did Jesus say, Abraham rejoiced to see my days. Look at Romans 4. Look at Romans 4, verse 3. Look at Romans 4, verse 3. Look at Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we then say Abraham, their father, had pertaining to the flesh had found? Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh had found. What did Abraham find? Look at it, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. That is what? If Abraham were to be justified by works, he will have the ability to glorify in himself, but that glory will not be before God. Why? Your righteousness is as a filthy rag before God. Your self-righteousness is as a filthy rag before God. A man can never please God without believing in Christ. The only way to please God and to be righteous in the eyes of God, right, to the side of God or to God, is by believing. So what did Abraham find? Abraham were justified by works. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. So he would definitely, I do not do this. I cannot do this. I did not do this. Yeah, that is self-righteousness. Look at verse 3. For what said the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day, and he believed. Yeah, Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day, and he believed. Now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Abraham rejoiced to see the day. Yeah, we are in that day of the resurrection. That day of the resurrection, where we shout, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians 3. Look at it. Galatians chapter 3. What is he saying? He says, look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Eh? I do this. I do that. I keep this. I keep that. No man is justified by the law in the eyes of God. No man is justified by the law in the eyes of God. Yeah, it is evident, for the just shall live by his faith. Yeah, look at and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live them. Then look at verse 13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Yeah, look at it. He says, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 19. Verse 16. Now to Abraham as and his seed were the promises made. He said not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to that seed which is Christ. So when Abraham went out to count stars, and Moses said, go and, God says, go and count the stars, so shall your seeds be. He's not talking about seeds as in plenty. No, he's talking about seed. Who is that seed which is Christ? How do we know? Paul tells us in Galatians 3, verse 16. So Abraham rejoiced to see that day. Abraham rejoiced and he believed. He believed in that work of Christ. He believed in Christ. He believed in God. He believes in Christ. Romans 4:3 says, what did Abraham find? Here, Romans 4:1. What did Abraham find? He says that if he were to be justified by the works of the law, he would not stand before God. Yeah, but he now says, but he believed. That's why when you see Hebrews, when you see Hebrews chapter 11, when you see the writings of the faith of the fathers, Noah by faith, Abraham by faith, Moses by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Yeah, our belief and our religion, or our faith rather, is all by faith. In fact, let me say this way. What we stand on as saints is simply about a believing, or is simply given to us by believing. Yeah, simply given to us by believing. So Abraham saw that Christ will be. Yeah, so you see, Moses, remember we looked at in our last teaching. Yeah, it's something I think you should get. Our last teaching, we saw that God did not give Moses the law to give the people. Moses gave the law. He offered the law, but he knew about Christ. Moses knew about that work of Christ. Look at what did Christ come to do? Look at Matthew 26, verse 28. What did Christ come to do? You know, people say Christ because of the blood of Christ. You know, there's a picture that's going around now. Because of the blood of Christ, I cannot have obesity. I cannot be fat. Yeah, because of Christ, I will not have pot belly. Don't go and gym. I won't have pot belly because of Christ. Yeah, they said because of Christ you will not have pot belly, because of Christ nothing like obesity. So those that have obesity, they're not in Christ. We say a lot of things that we don't know that what we say lacks, or it doesn't hold, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, one of the things I was talking about, you know how people say angels slept with daughters of men and they gave birth to giants. So God now used the flood to destroy the earth because the human race was infused with angels, angel gene. You are simply saying that angels have reproductive organs. You are simply saying that very, very soon they will tell you that it was that angel that visited Mary, slept with Mary. You will believe. Yeah, we should know the implication of the things we say. You see, Christ did not share his blood for you to be slim. It's not for you to have fresh skin. Yeah, some people will post pictures today and say, my skin is glowing. Ask me why. Because of the blood. Matthew 26, verse 28. Look at what it says. Matthew 26, verse 28. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remissions of sins and for you to have a fine skin. Mm-mm. It is shed for the remission of sins. Full stop. My glory is because I'm a daughter of the king. So people that don't have fine skin, they are not daughters. D-O-K. Yeah? Look at Luke 22, verse 20. It says, likewise, also the cup after, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup of New Testament is my blood, which is shed for you. How did Matthew say, for the remissions of sin? Look at Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 25. Christ shed his blood for forgiveness of sins, not for houses, not for cars. Yeah, it will mean that. Okay, look at Romans 3. For all our sin, yeah, come short of the glory of God, yeah, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Remember, what Christ came to give was his spirit, not the hemoglobin that was in his body. We are not redeemed by corruptible things. We are redeemed by that incorruptible. It is the spirit that Christ came to give, not the blood. So when you say he came to shed his blood, what was he really giving? He came to give his spirit. Yeah? He came to shed his blood, is that he came to give his spirit. What redeemed do? What washed away your sins? Is it the blood itself? Mm-mm. The blood is a figurative store for the spirit. It is by the spirit we are washed. Yeah, remember we've done a teaching on that. So look at verse 25. Whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, yeah, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Yeah, so when Jesus died, what you believe, what did you receive? Was it blood? No, you did not receive blood now. You did not receive Goya bottle. You received the Spirit. The blood was shed as the price paid for the remissions of sin. Yeah, I'll say that again. Jesus shed his blood, that is in the giving of the Spirit, for what? The remission of sin. So when you say Jesus died and he rose again, what did he rise again to give? That he will live in several believers. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He says, in a little while, the comforter, I will send the comforter, the same comforter to you. Yeah, in a little while you will not see me. John 16. John 16. Yeah, in a little while you will not see me. In a little while you will see me because I go. Glory to God. The work of Christ has given redemption, has given us redemption. He has given us remissions of sins. Oh, glory to God. Look at Ephesians 1. It says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The blessings that Jesus came to offer, they are spiritual. They are not material. A blessing, anything you call blessing that a man can get without believing in Christ, is not why Christ came to die. It doesn't make sense. Men were on earth with money before Christ came to die. So Christ did not come to die to give money. He came to die to give that precious thing that is limited to the believer that believes. They are called spiritual blessings of the Spirit. Paul now highlights this blessing in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. He now says in verse 7, in whom? Because of this blessedness is, what do we have in the blessedness? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. God did not request for you to change your heart before he can forgive you. It is that he came to die, to give us, to rise again, so that we might have his Spirit. We might have his Spirit. You see, salvation is based on what Christ did and him alone. That alone. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. Glory to God. Yeah, he's alive. We are to proclaim he's alive. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. You are yet in your sin. So if Christ did not die, and if the Christ did not rise again after death, our faith is in vain. We would have remained in our sin, but he rose again. In that rising, we have received the Spirit of God. In that Spirit of God, we have forgiveness of sins. The salvation that Christ came to offer is eternal. Look at Hebrews 5. Yeah, we'll play around with scriptures today just for us to re-emphasize this. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. How do you obey? You obey by believing. He became the author. The only salvation that Christ has to offer is an eternal salvation. Salvation is forever. It can only be kept by Christ. Look at Hebrews 7. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Look at verse 25. But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continued ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Anybody that Jesus saves is saved to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Remember, when you say Jesus is making intercession, what does that mean? It is that in his living, in the fact that he will never die, is an intercession in itself. Not that he is praying and putting one knee on the floor. Yeah, not like he is asking God for mercy or for forgiveness. No. We are the ones that needed the mercy. We are the ones that needed the teaching of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. It is in his intercession that we have eternal salvation. He says he is able to save them to the uttermost. What is uttermost? It means forever. Jesus says forever. There is no mark or chip that a believer can get that will make him unsaved. Yeah, he says he is able to save unto the uttermost. Jesus, he did not say he is able to save unto the uttermost until if you choose not to take if you take the chip. No. Think about it. How can God do something to your spirit and you now do something to your physical body? That physical thing will now affect your spirit. You see, it goes a long way to show that your spirit in itself has pot belly. Yeah. That's why Nigerian films have caused a lot of havoc. You see, a man that has pot belly in real life, when he dies, you see him on hospital bed. He stands up. He now looks at the dead body in white. It's only in Nigerian film you see a ghost want to cross the road. He looks left, looks right, and looks left again. Yeah, tell me when the road safety enlightened him on the doctrine of crossing road. Yeah, you see me. Okay, bro. You say whosoever is able, wherefore is able to save them unto the uttermost. There is no tattoo on your body that says 666 that makes you unsaved. The salvation that Jesus has to offer is a forever salvation. First John will say is the propitiation for our sins. We have forgiveness of sins. No, we will have. We have forgiveness of sins. Even Jesus said the same thing in John 10:28. He says, "None can pluck you from." Look at John 10. Oh, Jesus is an author of eternal salvation. There is no mark or chip that can make your salvation to be undone. It's either you were saved or you were never saved. It's simple. It's not hard. Look at John 10. Look at John 10. Look at John 10. It's either you were saved or you. Look at John 10 verse 28. See, if you don't have a proper understanding of what Christ came to do and the salvation he came to supply, don't bother trying to research on Antichrist. Don't bother trying to research on whatever you are, on anything that is not about. Don't bother about it. Yeah? Don't bother. We have an assurance of our faith. Don't listen to people that are using Look at John 10. Look at John 10 verse 8. And I give unto them eternal life. The only thing that God, which is Jesus, has to give is eternal life. Is eternal life. Yeah, is eternal life. Think about it. When you were saved, I am very sure, except you attend a healing meeting where they healed your physical body, nothing about your body changed because you were saved. Nothing about your physical body changed because you were saved. So how come sometimes when you are saved in your heart, yeah, you are saved in your spirit, you have received the Spirit of God, it means it doesn't change anything in your physical body. So how come when you change something in your physical body, it can affect your spirit? No, it doesn't make any sense. All that God, which is Christ Jesus, has to give is what? Eternal life. John 10:28. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, 22 says, wherefore is the author of eternal salvation. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Any man that has eternal life, no matter the chip that is in his body, he shall never. See, I'm trying to make this truth clear at the forefront of your brains. Yeah, because remember, it's easy to forget them. Yeah, it's easy to be deceived. It's easy to listen to anything online. It's easy to follow anybody's doctrine or tweet or thread on Twitter. But I'm saying this thing to re-emphasize the reality of what we received. God is an eternal God. The only thing an eternal God can give is an eternal reality. If car is not eternal, that means God did not come to give car by that work, that eternal work of resurrection, of redemption. Look at what it says. I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. The moment you say a man can make a chip, and when you implant it in your body, you can take yourself out of the hand of God, you simply said that man or those group of people are greater than God. What did Jesus say? He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, everyone. He says, and none is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Think about it. The moment you say that a man can create anything to take you out of the hands of God, it means that man is greater than God. You see, we don't know the implication of the things we say. Oh, glory to God. We are to celebrate that eternal glory, that eternal work. Yeah, we dance, because of that grave that is empty. Oh, he is alive. Yeah, he is alive. Think about it. Why are we celebrating Easter? If it is that, celebrate that he rose. But in the fact that he rose, you have to keep yourself so that you will act. No. He is alive. Oh, glory to God. He is alive. How do we know? The scripture tells us so. What he did, see, there's nothing that Jesus did we have to continue so that we can have what he did. What he did is for us to live a particular life that is worthy of that vocation of what he did. We are too small to think. See, salvation is not a teamwork with Christ. Salvation is fully about Christ. Christ has done that sacrifice, and he had made that sacrifice, giving that sacrifice as an offering to mankind. The moment you believe that you are a partaker of that reality. Yeah, that's why when we say when a man is saved and he believes, he is sentenced to eternal life without his permission. There is nothing again he needs to do to maintain his salvation. He is saved forever. The reason why you ask people to walk in love or have believers' conduct is for their fellow men, not for God. No, it's for their fellow men. It's for their fellow men. We are too small to have a joint venture with the work of Christ. Oh, glory to God. He is alive. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 17. Oh, glory, glory, glory. He is alive forevermore. Oh, he's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 17. Look at verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. What is he saying? He's not saying that you will forget. It's that the word they remember means to not to take into account something that is done. What does that mean? It means that if you slap me today and someone comes and tells me, I come, you know, for instance, look at it. If you slap me on Monday, you punch me on Tuesday, and you hit me on Wednesday. On Thursday, someone says I should come and list the sins you did to me on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. What I would do, if I say you only punch me and you slap me, it means that I have not taken into account the fact that you hit me on Wednesday. Yeah, what does it mean? He said, there is no sin and iniquity that God is taking into account. That is why there is so much error with people that say that God is trying to use corona to allow people to turn back to him. No, the only message that God has to give humanity to turn back to him is the message of Christ, and that alone. Yeah, yeah. Remember, we've done teachings on that. Yeah, we've done do not err. God, do not err. God is good. Do not err, no matter. We've done several teachings on that. Yeah. So there is no condemnation. Look at that Hebrews 10. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, Jesus has offered the sacrifice for sin. God cannot now be using disease to come and be punishing people because of the sins of mankind. No. Yeah, yeah. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, what do you say in your Bible? Forever. 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 What now happened? He sat down as the right hand of God. He sat down. The Lord said to my Lord, sit as my right hand. Yeah, the Lord said to my Lord. So look at it. I didn't give a definite explanation to that, but I'm sure you should be able to connect the dots. We started from Psalm 110. Remember that? Yeah, look at it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. From hence, for the spending to the enemies, be made his footstool. Is that not the same thing we are just reading? Yeah, remember we read that in Psalm 110. Remember I said so? It was well quoted, one of the most quoted scriptures in writings of Psalms. Look at verse 14. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Nothing can undo that. Yeah, if you like, go and write a tattoo on your body. 666. You are saved forever. You are saved to the uttermost. Look at it. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Yeah, if you want your password of your phone to be 6, that is 5666 is a number. See, when you say mark of the okay, we're not going there. Yeah, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. What is that thing that you should be content with? For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, verse 20. I am with you always to the end of time. Jesus cannot undo what he has done. You cannot undo what Jesus has done. He says, let your contentment, he says, be content with such things. That means when you remember that Jesus said he will never leave you, that alone should bring contentment to you. You might have all the money in the world, or you might not have all the money in the world. You might have zero naira in your account right now. But that thing that Christ said should bring contentment to you. It should bring contentment to you. It should bring contentment to you. The redemption that we have is eternal. That alone should bring contentment to you. Look at Hebrews 9:11. Look at Hebrews 9:11. Hebrews 9:11 and 12. It says, but Christ being become an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Remember, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he offered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. Christ only gives a redemption that is eternal. Christ only gives a remission of sin that is eternal. The remission of sin that Christ has to offer is an eternal remission of sin. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Lift your hands wherever you are and say, I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. Glory, glory, glory. I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. Look at that verse 15. Look at verse 15. That same Hebrews. Look at that same Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of tradition that were under the First Testament, that which accord might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, glory to God. The inheritance we've received in Christ is eternal. The inheritance we received in Christ, they are all eternal. The moment is not eternal, it's not what we received in Christ. Why do we rejoice? We rejoice because of that eternal remission of sin. Yeah, that we, like sheep that were led astray, have returned now back to the bishop and shepherd of our soul. Oh, glory to God. Eternal, eternal, eternal. Glory, glory, glory. Eternal. It's eternal. Look at Jude. Look at Jude 24. Jude 24. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He is able. He has an ability to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. You have no ability to present yourself faultless before the presence of his glory. Hey, no, you have no ability. It is only the ability of the Spirit. So, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yeah, with exceeding joy. You see, upon the resurrection, the believer has the fullness of joy. The believer has the fullness of joy. The believer has the fullness of peace. Yeah, upon resurrection, the believer has the fullness of joy and peace. All the believer needs to know is to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The peace that is of God is found in Christ. You see, a lot of people will say, you know, when is the month of May? May this month bring to you, may this month bring, or rather today, I know a lot of people will send messages for Easter. You know, may the joy and the peace and the this, may the joy, peace of resurrection be with you. It is not something that may. It is that it is with us. We have the fullness of joy. At the appearing of Christ, there is fullness of joy. Yeah, every peace that the believer can ever have, he already has. He just needs to acknowledge that. Yeah, he just needs to remember Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with this that ye have. What do ye have? Eternal redemption of sin. Yeah, so it's not a prayer to tell a believer, oh, may the joy, peace be with you. No. That's why when you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, that is the supply of the Spirit, is with you, not be with you. Yeah, not may the grace and the peace of that comes in resurrection be with you. No, it is with you already. You are toward Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is found in Christ. There is peace, there is joy in Christ. Yeah, there is eternal redemption in Christ. There is forgiveness of sins in Christ. Yeah, we are to acknowledge that. Oh, glory to God. We are to acknowledge that. We are to acknowledge that. Not to pray for it. We are to acknowledge. We are to acknowledge. Yeah, we are to acknowledge. That's why Philippians 4. He said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4, look at what verse 6 says. He says, rejoice, verse 4, again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why do you rejoice? Because you are full of joy. What did verse 6 say? Be careful for nothing. Yeah, remember that teaching on prayer, that prayer seminar. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I'm full of peace. I'm full of joy. I'm so full of joy. I'm full of peace. Oh, remember that teaching? Stay joyful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at it. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Look at what it says. If you have a good Bible, that word I pray God is in italics. Remember the teaching on italics? When you have a writing in italics, it simply means that it was added, most likely added, just for the sentence to seemingly make sense. So when it says, I pray God, God is not, look at it, I pray God that your spirit and soul and body be preserved. Paul is not saying that I'm praying that God will preserve your soul as well. Jude 24 says, now to him that is able to present and preserve and keep you from falling. So that I pray God is out of it. How do we know? Read in context. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Your whole spirit, your body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Christ. How do we know? Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What was Paul really teaching? Was he praying? No, he wasn't praying. Verse 24. He is affirming the faithfulness of God that has an ability to preserve and to keep. Yeah, glory, 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 glory to God. Yeah, so what was Paul affirming? He was affirming the faithfulness is he that is called, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. I'm sure it's been a beautiful time this morning to bring the truth of God's word to you. All that Christ came to do, he has done, and they are all eternal. There is nothing that can undo that. There is no tattoo, there is no chip, there is no metal that can undo. Think about it, metal can undo the work of the Spirit. We cannot undo that great work of the Spirit. Yeah, that is what we rejoice about. No, we are not, we see, remember, from scriptures, we don't see that the disciples and apostles rejoiced because of a car. No. They rejoice because of what? The eternal redemption that they have received. Yeah? That the communication of their faith might be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Yeah? So remember those good things that Christ has accomplished. What are those good things? You have forgiveness of sin. You know, a good place to reaffirm that to yourself is Ephesians chapter 1. It says, we have been chosen in him. Verse 5, it says, we have been predestinated into adoption of children. Verse 6, it says, he had made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. Oh, glory to God. Verse 13, it says that in whom also you trusted and you believed, you received the spirit of promise. You see, that is a good place to rejoice. Oh, glory to God. That's a good place to rejoice. That the work of Christ is an eternal reality. Yeah, Christ died to give us an eternal redemption. Christ died to give us an eternal redemption. The only work that Christ came to die. See, if you don't believe in eternal redemption, why are we really celebrating this day? Yeah, why are we celebrating this day? No, the resurrection of Christ is a proof. That is an intercession in itself that we've received from that author of eternal salvation an eternal redemption. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We're going to continue in this line on Wednesday. On Wednesday by 6:45 p.m. Yeah, it's a good time because we're going to really continue. You know, so some things I said today will make more sense next week. So we're going to continue and see the kind of government that Jesus has. Is it a government about politics? Is it a government about APC? You know, some people say that God said APC will win, PDP will win. No, God is not a politician. Yeah, men choose who will win politics. We're going to see all of this on Wednesday. Till then, remain joyful, stay joyful, remain prayerful. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is glorified, and proclaim the good news all over that he is risen. Hallelujah. Have a beautiful day.